Our next guest has enjoyed a long career in public health here in Michigan, including several positions of key leadership. Twice the director of the Michigan Department of Community Health, James Haveman's last day in that position is next Monday. The last chapter of Haveman's long career has been eventful. He's widely credited with spearheading implementation of the Healthy Michigan Plan. Back in April, Healthy Michigan began offering health care coverage to thousands of Michigan residents who are not otherwise covered by Medicare or Medicaid. But this chapter is only the latest in a long, eventful career. To talk about it, we welcome back to Current State James Haveman. Thanks for joining us
today. Good to be here, Mark. Good to see you.
First off, tell us how your health is. You had a mild stroke back in May.
Yeah, I had a mild stroke in May, and I lost feeling in my arm, and I couldn't speak. And that lasted for about 2 minutes, and after a couple of days of hospitalization, I was back to work the third day and on some medication. But at that point, you know, I was planning on staying working for Rick Snyder, who I really enjoyed working for a little bit longer, but we decided that a change of pace was appropriate, and I'm 71, and it was time to make a change, so we did it, and I'm on my last few days.
Was it pretty apparent to you you were having a stroke at the time?
Well, you know, stroke is the second leading cause of death in the United States and in Michigan, and, you know, there's not a lot known about it. You read about it, you hear about it, but I knew I wasn't having a heart attack, and so obviously it had to be a stroke, but it wasn't a TIA, which is more of a, you know, where it's not as severe, but this was more of a stroke where there was some residue damage, so it was time to make a decision. But it hasn't affected me. I'm on medication. I'm doing fine. I had lost weight. My cholesterol was under control, but I'm glad I did pay attention to my health, because if I hadn't, it could have been a more serious, more fatal stroke.
In spite of the stroke, did you come close to staying?
Well, yeah, because I love what I do. I love working with the Michigan legislature. I love the interaction between policy, politics, and principle. And I enjoy this governor, and I like the big thinking that goes on in this administration. And you know, we're really reforming a lot of things. We're dealing with chronic illness. We're doing the Healthy Michigan Plan. We're coming up with new ideas on bundled payments and how we can make health care more lean and more efficient. And those are exciting perches to be on, and it was a great opportunity.
You are commonly described as driven. Do you feel you're leaving behind unfinished business?
Well, the unfinished business for me is that 77% of the health care costs in this state are related to chronic illness. And you know, we made some dents in it on smoking and obesity. We're really going after issues of healthy babies, but there's still a lot we could do. And the biggest piece for me of not completed is how to educate people how to effectively use a health card so people just don't run to the emergency room, that they really get engaged with their physician and start working on preventive aspects of their health. And this is what we need to do to really change the healthcare system in the United States.
What area of health do you think we stand to make the most inroads in?
Well, one is to get people health care coverage. You know, when we had 1.2 million people a year and a half ago uninsured in this state, today 650,000 of those uninsured now have a health care card, either through the exchange or through the Healthy Michigan Plan. That means a lot of these people won't be spun into bankruptcy because of health care costs. And they're getting preventive care, which will keep them out of the emergency room, and less it'll be a cost savings, and it's a good investment in the state. So, but chronic illness, whether it be heart issues, smoking issues, alcohol issues, asthmatic issues, you know, high cholesterol issues. I mean, these are the type of things we got to spend time on, and that's just going to take a lot of hard work, heavy lifting, and education. I mean, our immunization rate should be higher in this state. We got to do a better job at that.
James Haveman is our guest here today on Current State. Monday is his last day as director of the Michigan Department of Community Health. How did you end up in health, public health, in the first place? What forces in your life moved you in this direction?
Well, in the 60s, I started as a young social worker working in child welfare, and then I went into a substance abuse treatment program, ran that in Grand Rapids for a bit, and then went into the community mental health programs, and and then worked at a large adoption agency, Bethany Christian Services. And then John Engler called and asked if I'd run the Department of Mental Health. And that's when I began to really see that so much of mental illness, so much of the things we were treating symptomatically, we had to get at the root causes. And back then, you know, we didn't have the integration of mental health and physical health. We have that now. And that's how I kind of backed into it. And so when we were able to bring public health and mental health and Medicaid and aging together in one holistic approach in the mid-90s, that's when I really began to really see the importance of population health.
How did your early career experiences prior to coming to the state, how did those shape you? Project Rehab in Grand Rapids at Bethany, et cetera. How did that lay the groundwork for your career?
Well, I can remember we often take kids in the 60s out of their homes and place them in foster care because the families didn't have a refrigerator or a stove. Well, then the policy of the state was, well, let's get the family a stove and refrigerator so the kids can stay home. And I began to see that you can't treat the symptoms. You got to find out what the cause of the fact is. So you can get people involved in healthcare issues early, and kids can start good habits before age 12, rather than be 100 pounds overweight at age 12. We know then what type of problems will come after that. So a lot of my energy and interest over the years, Mark, has developed into early assessment, early involvement, early intervention, early education, rather than doing what we do fairly well in this state. We have a sickness model, not a cure. We don't have a curative model, and I want to get away from that sickness model.
When Governor Engler called, were you aspiring to a leadership role like that?
It came totally out of the blue. I never expected it. I wasn't seeking the job. And Vern Ehlers, who was a senator at the time, had suggested my name. And I've always been one who enjoys the bigger picture. I'm a son of an architect, so I enjoy the how things go together. And so I went out and interviewed, and I wasn't seeking it, and I got the job. And same thing when I got a call to go to Iraq. The White House called and said, would you be willing to do this in 2003? And I said yes, because as an American, and I enjoy overseas work, and it seemed like a great opportunity.
What comes to mind first when you think back on your tenure in the Engler administration?
I've worked with three very smart people: John Engler, Ambassador Bremer, Governor Engler, Ambassador Bremer, and Governor Rick Snyder. What goes back is the whole movement away from large institutions and getting the money out to community and building a community mental health system will be the highlight of that era.
You picked up some critics for some of those moves, though. You headed DCH when it was decided to close 10 of the state's 16 psychiatric hospitals, and critics claimed it effectively sent tens of thousands of mentally ill people to jails and emergency rooms and homeless shelters. Can you revisit that in a little bit more detail and explain why you moved to close those hospitals?
Sure. 95% of the mental health budget back then was being spent on state institutions for maybe less than 25,000 people. And there were just hundreds of thousands of people in communities who needed services and who weren't getting them. So what we did is an orderly transfer. We knew where everybody went when they left the state institution. They went to community-based programs. This Governor Engler put all the money back into the community. We built a system out there. I remember writing grants in 1968 to deal with people who are mentally ill in the Kent County Jail in Kent County. So there's nothing new about people with mental health problems. And quite honestly, most people that go into jails after a week or two are anxious, they're depressed, they think there's conspiracy, they think they're paranoid. So who's mentally ill and who is more moderate or mildly mentally ill, and how do we deal with that? But I think we've created diversionary programs. I'm not happy when people get caught up in the criminal justice system who don't need to be there. And I think we're doing a pretty good job investing in new programs to keep people out of jails and prisons.
James Haveman, director of Michigan's Department of Community Health, is our guest here today on Current State. You combined mental health and community health here 20 years or so ago. Was that controversial at the time, and does that stand up as a good move in retrospect?
In retrospect, it was a good move. It was a good move at the time, mainly because, and it's merely been positive, because we're now building all those public health principles of what we know about population health, about dealing with larger groups of people and impacting their health, and bringing that into the overall healthcare delivery system. So it's great to have the public people at the table, and it's been great for them to be part of the design of the Healthy Michigan Plan. If you look at the Healthy Michigan Plan, there are basic public health principles written in there, and that would not have happened if we hadn't had a combined department.
I believe you were out of state government when Saddam Hussein fell, and you were tapped to travel to Iraq to set up the new government's health care system. What was that like, and what will you remember from that period?
I remember walking into a country in 2003 in late May and June that I'd left a state where the budget was $10 billion in health care for the state into a country where there were 26 million people. I had 100,000 employees. I had 240 hospitals, 1,200 clinics, two looted 10-story administration building, and my total budget for the whole country and the healthcare delivery system was $16 million. Now, that's what I'll remember and what that was like. And when I left, it was $1 billion. Today, the Iraqis are spending over $5 billion on their healthcare system. So I really look back and say, well, we were part of, with the Iraqis, building a platform that led to a really expanded healthcare system.
How long were you in Iraq?
About 11 months.
11 months. You've been in a lot of intense situations. Iraq, state budget fights, regulatory pressure. How have you kept your head during these junctures?
Well, I'm one of those people that enjoy the complexity of the challenge of politics, principle, and policy. And as I said earlier, I'm a son of an architect, so I watched my father deal with large buildings, and a lot of people would get overwhelmed by it, but they go together one board at a time and one nail at a time. And so that's how I approach these issues. It's just one piece. Like the Healthy Michigan Plan, we had 56 items that had to be green before we let it go on April 1, and they were all pieces of the puzzle, and they all were in place, and we let it go, and it's worked very favorably. So I think that upbringing and that training, I have an accounting background at Calvin, and I got my social work degree here at Michigan State, and putting those two together, I think, has been a very helpful tool. I'm one of the few social workers who can really understand a budget and like accounting.
Tom Watkins, your predecessor at DCH, in a highly complimentary piece in Dome Magazine, wrote the following about you. Quote, a lesser leader would not have been able to help Governor Snyder shepherd the passage of Healthy Michigan through the legislature. Were you as critical to the passage of Healthy Michigan as Mr. Watkins writes?
You know, I was a director of a department that worked with the administration and the legislature to make that happen. And you know, I'm not one to take credit. I never worry about who's on first. It's a team effort, but I had the privilege of being the director and working strategically and had many meetings with senators and reps and to help shepherd this along. And if I was part of many that made this happen, I'm certainly pleased to be there.
Government's role in health is growing. Are you generally optimistic about that? Can you generalize about Healthy Michigan, Obamacare, and similar efforts and feel confident that Michigan's health landscape will improve in the years to come?
I've never seen more tense times in healthcare, but people are more optimistic about the future. You realize, Mark, and I know you know this, about a third of the healthcare dollar is still wasted. I mean, it's done on inappropriate tests, inefficient systems, complex billings, too many codes, and there's ways we can make it better and make it more efficient. I mean, I'd have experienced that having this stroke, just the number of bills and the number of doctors and people I'm dealing with. But I'm optimistic. The pieces are beginning to go together. And there is a role for government funding, but there's also a role for the private sector, private insurance companies like Blue Cross Blue Shield and others and we use 13 plans to deliver health care in the state. So I'm in favor of a hybrid system, but I'm also in favor of putting more emphasis on outcomes and not just on outputs.
What particular advice are you giving to your successor, Nick Lyon?
Well, Nick's been my chief deputy for 2 years, and he'll do a great job. And I'm telling him to keep the momentum going, to keep thinking big, to keep challenging people to be creative. I'm still looking for the Southwest Airlines model for healthcare. It's still pretty traditional in how it approaches. And I think the consumers, as people get more individual plans, are beginning to become more, want more transparency and infection rates and costs and value and price. And Nick will lead that. And I think that's the challenge that he has.
James Haveman is the director of Michigan's Department of Community Health. His last day in that position is next Monday. James, many thanks for joining us, and congratulations on a long, rich career.
Thank you, Mark, and I appreciate the relationship I've had with you.